find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klink Show, live on Sunday. And we're at a different time again, thanks to Christmas Kids. What a wonderful show, though. Hats off to Clark and company in West Moss for doing an amazing job, as they always do. It just puts me in the mood, in the holiday mood, listening to the Christmas Kids show. 404-872-0750 is our number, like it usually is. Or if you'd like me to pick up the cost of the call, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to do that as well. If you're not following me on Twitter, half the conversation is flying right by and you're missing it. Plus, today I think we're going to actually go over the 5,000 Twitter follower mark. So if you'd like to be a part of that fun and games, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We have a really interesting thing tomorrow. I'm going to be, this is just a little aside scheduling thing, so I'm going to be hanging out at the station tomorrow, and we're going to be picking our date for our next event. Very exciting. It's going to be in April. We're going to do an event on investing in real estate and all the things you need to know for the spring market. It is so many interesting things happening right now. You know, we keep talking about the fiscal cliff. We talk about the deductions that may go away. Mortgage interest deduction is hanging by a thread. Boy, if you could just be in D.C. and listen to what's going on from the folks who are very pro mortgage interest deduction and the folks who are like, it doesn't really matter, hardly anybody gets it anyway anymore. Wow, fly on the wall, that's what I'd like to be. Anyway, we're going to be picking our date for this investing in real estate conference, and I can't tell you how excited I am. We have some very, very big people that we are going to be inviting to talk to you, people who have $100 million invested in real estate, and they started out just the way you did. So we're going to do something really interesting. Tomorrow we're going to pick the date, and then maybe next Sunday, we'll see if we're ready to announce it or not. Probably not. It'll probably be right after the first of the year. But April, on a Friday, you're going to want to save the date and be there, be square. What else is going on in the ThinkLink community? Wow, we've got tons of really helpful Christmas stuff going up at Yahoo. Equifax Finance blog, great year-end tax stuff. Boy, if you are worrying about the tax consequences of the fiscal cliff, Eva Rosenberg, who does our tax stuff, she's Tax Mama. She has written two really, really helpful pieces, and I'm going to tweet those out in just a little bit. They say it better than I ever could. Well, of course, she's an enrolled agent, and she does it every single day of the week. So I'll put that up for you as well so you can see exactly what you're getting into. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Happy to take your questions about money and real estate and what's going on in the world. And if you feel like talking about Christmas, we can do that as well. It's kind of a packed hour. We only have an hour for today's show. We've got a prize pack to give away, a really good one. You'd figure that one out. And we've got Rhonda Duffy coming up in a couple of minutes, so we'll talk to her. Just lots of cool stuff going on. I do want to just, you know, just because, well, hey, why not? Just kick things off. There's a lot going on, and you're going to see this over the next week or two, as if we don't have enough going on with the fiscal cliff, right? But there's a whole bunch of fresh lawsuits that are starting to come out asserting that the big banks sold shoddy mortgage securities. Oh, that's a huge surprise. That imploded during the financial crisis, right? And if you've been keeping track at home, or like me, keeping count on the radio, we're now at well over $100 billion, that's with a B, that the banks have already committed to. You've got the $25 billion mortgage settlement. Bank of America has got a few other multi-billion dollar settlements. Chase has had a few. Citi's got a few. And so all of these are related to about $1 trillion of securities. But now we've got regulators, prosecutors, investors, and insurers who have filed dozens of new claims against the four big banks, Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, Citi, and others, all relating to the $1 trillion worth of mortgage-backed securities. So you know how this works, right? You go to get a loan, and the bank makes the loan to you, but then they turn around, they immediately resell the loan, usually to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or FHA. Fannie and Freddie then bundle these up, package them up, and then they go and resell them all around the world. And Iceland capitulated first. You know, we all know about Iceland. And that was the beginning of what has been like this incredible slide. And for those of you who think we're almost out of it or we're coming out of it, let me reassure you that we're still in a housing depression. And when you look at where we were in 04 and 05 and 06, we're not doing that great. But anyway, how much will these costs cost you? Right? How much will these lawsuit costs cost the bank, and how in turn will that affect you? Well, there are experts who are looking at this saying that the litigation could cost $300 billion or triple where we are today. And that's a rough estimate. It's even a little bit higher than triple. And if you end up having the banks eat this, and I'm not suggesting they should or shouldn't, will or won't. I'm just saying if they do, this is a serious number. You know, a third of $1 trillion is a serious number by anybody's tack. In a world where $1 billion just doesn't seem like that much money anymore, because we see all these people who are, you know, Facebook, and he's now worth, you know, $30 billion, and Gates is worth $40 billion. It makes us lose a sense of proportion. But I'm here to tell you that $300 billion is a really big number, and it could, and probably will, lower profits and slow the economy just because the banks will be a little bit smaller, a little bit weaker. And it's really interesting. So the New York Times does a really nice, Jessica Silver Greenberg does a really nice description of all of this, where she lays out the three facets of cases, right? Prosecutors accusing the banks of fraud, regulators claiming that the banks duped investors into buying the bad mortgage securities, and investors who want the banks to buy back the soured loans. Three fronts. Really interesting to see. So then there's a $200 billion case going on right now from the Federal Housing Finance Agency. They're overseeing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It was filed against 17 banks last year, claiming that they duped Fannie and Freddie into buying shaky securities. So everybody is pointing the finger, and nobody knows which way this is actually going to go. But I'm here to tell you that this is the time to be buying property and financing it for the long run. If you haven't jumped off this fence, with mortgage interest rates at 3 1/3% for people with great credit for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. I just had somebody yesterday tell me that their bank is offering for a refi in a 10 or 15-year loan 2.61% with about $1,500 in closing costs. 2.61%. This is like free money. And it's funny because he said his bank is one of these high net worth banks. And he said, my bank won't even refinance me anymore because they suddenly decided that I don't have, they looked and they see that I don't have $10 billion in my account. So I don't get the 2.61%. But he said, I would take $5 million at that. He said, I don't know if I can afford the money, but I would take it simply because I know that interest rates are going up, and I could do plenty with that money where I'm going to earn more than 2.61%. So if you haven't jumped off, this is where it's going to go, because the banks aren't going to lose all of these cases, but they're not going to win all these cases either. And so these costs will get absorbed. These costs will get passed on, because that is what capitalism does, right? They're going to take somewhat of a hit. Everybody else is going to have to pay a little bit more. And interest rates will go up, or the costs and fees are going to go up. Eventually, it's all going to go up. So this is why we're having our Investing in Real Estate event in April, because this is going to be an amazing year to buy. And by April, we're going to know what's happening with the fiscal cliff. We're going to understand where we are with the economy. We're going to really understand how to make money with what's left of the housing crisis. And that's what I want to do with you then. So stay tuned, sign up for the free weekly newsletter, follow me on Twitter, because you know it's all going to get announced there first. 404-872-0750, let's go to the phones. Nathan joins us on the line from Jonesboro. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Elise, thank you for taking my call. I know we've heard all this about too big to fail and too big to fail. What prevents a bank from just failing and, just like any business, not paying its debts?
Nothing. Well, they have investors. They've got, I mean, as of June, the four or five biggest banks put aside $30 billion. Just set it aside and said, this is money that we're going to use to pay some of these lawsuits. So they fully expect and have started to prepare for that. But $30 billion is not $300 billion. But like I said, they're not going to win all of them. They're not going to lose all of them. And my guess is a lot of these are going to settle. So the banks have begun putting away significant sums of money. And again, you think to yourself, $30 billion. Well, what's that? That's a lot of money. That is a serious amount of money. It may not be enough for all of this, but it's a serious sum of money. So they could fail. So let's look at what happened when they failed, right? Bear Stearns failed. Lehman failed. There was a huge destabilization in the world because of those two failures back to back. And I don't think anybody wants to see that again. Everybody wants a planned failure. So if there's going to be one, they want it. But at the moment, the banks are doing okay. They're making money. Heck, even AIG is making money and has paid off a huge chunk of what the government put into it. So I don't know how to answer your question other than to say somebody is going to fail along the way because that failure will unravel in a way that nobody expects today, so nobody can plan for it. I don't think anybody really understood what a failure of Lehman's size and shape and tentacles into all these industries would do to the world's economy. Now we understand that. So there's a pushback in letting that happen in the way that it happened the last time. But who knows?
But there were trillions and trillions of dollars of these loans sold throughout
the world. Oh, yeah, $6 trillion. Well, maybe not six, maybe like $3 trillion.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, that's a heck of a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Well, thank you for answering my question. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for listening to the show, and happy holidays. And happy Hanukkah for everybody listening today. 18 minutes past the hour. Mike joins us on the line. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
What's going on?
Oh, pretty good. I had heard that the Fed was buying up treasuries or something to the tune of $30 billion a month or something. I don't know. Something had to do with
$85 billion a month.
Yeah, something about lowering interest rates. And so I was wondering, one of the banks I was dealing with said something about 2.75, but I don't know really what the closing costs are. And I guess my question is, next year, could this thing go down anymore? I'm thinking about refinancing.
So, Mike, let me explain to you just how mortgages work, and then you're going to see what I see, which is that interest rates now are almost zero, right? The only way, on top of 0%, or it's like 0.25%. So the bank borrows the money at 0.25%, and then they're going to add on 2.5 to 3%. That's the margin. That's the profit. That's the costs and the expenses and the profit. So if you know that interest rates are just about zero and the bank is going to add 2.5%, 2.75% is about as low as it could possibly go, right?
Okay.
So it can't go any lower. It really, I mean, we're talking fractions. If it's 2.75, that means the bank is borrowing money at under 0.25%, and they're putting about 2.5% on top of it, which isn't even that much for profit and expenses and costs and all the rest, right? Where could it go? Maybe it could go to 2.63%. The savings to you is virtually zero. What you need to do is get that in and see what kind of other expenses and fees and whatever they're charging you, and that way you'll understand sort of how your bank compares to everybody else. But hear me now. Just go do it, because if you wait until next year, unless you have terrible credit and they won't do it this year for you, there is no reason to wait. Go get the loan for the rest of your life if you can do that. Get the loan for the rest of your life, or at least for as long as you're going to live in this house. Do it and then forget about it. Because right now at 2.75% or 2% for a 15-year or whatever the numbers are, it's so ridiculous as to be meaningless that you're going to save any more money on top of it. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. We're going to take a short break. Come back with Rhonda Duffy. Stay tuned. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Rhonda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so when people are going to get a loan, it is so hard to get any kind of financing today. Lenders still are really tough about it, and that's particularly true if you're buying investment real estate. What do you recommend people do to sort of increase the odds that they're going to get the loan they want?
Well, first, they've got to get the right mindset. Just because you're talking to one lender does not mean you're going to get what you want, okay? So you've got to get the mindset together. What we use is we use questions that you ask the lender, and then we use a financing matrix so that you can compare what these lenders said.
That's great. So describe that matrix for me a
little bit. It has things like, what is the loan term that they're promoting? What is the interest rate? Is there any penalty if you exit? You know, how long is the term? Things that you can kind of use across the matrix to see and compare what people are doing. We actually do this a lot, like when we get bids for painting my office, we'll compare, you know, the kind of equipment that they're using, what kind, well, not the kind of equipment, but the kind of paint. How long is the warranty for the paint? How long is the warranty for their work, right? But back to the financing matrix, this allows them to feel like they're in control. I'll tell you, there's only one thing worse than trying to get a loan, and that is trying on clothes when you think you're a size 4 and you're really a size 10. Okay?
That's that never
how people
happens to
feel.
Me.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like you've got to get your head on straight that just because you call a lender and they say no does not mean to give up. That just means that that lender isn't catering to your type of what you want, right? So you just keep searching. You know, I just bought a house 5 years ago. Well, seems like I just bought it. I had to talk to 8 lenders before I got the loan that I wanted. 8.
Well, once you find a good lender, our experience is that's the lender you keep going back to. So we have gone through probably just as many of those in the 20-odd years we've lived in this house. And I find now that when we need to refinance, our first call is to Brad, because the last 8 times, Brad's come through with an amazing loan. And we keep checking him out, of course. You want to do that. But it's always good to find a great lender. And it sounds like this matrix is a great thing to do. Have you got it up on your blog today?
Yes, I do.
All right.
RhondaDuffy.com.
Absolutely. RhondaDuffy.com for Rhonda's blog and more of the insight, real estate insight, that she provides each week. Rhonda, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. I'll see you next week.
All right. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. Be back in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
35 minutes past the hour. You know, I think we're going to do our prize pack right now. The WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack, value $163. It includes a pair of tickets to the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's holiday concert featuring Handel's Messiah. Isn't that amazing? On December 13th at Atlanta Symphony Hall, and a $25 gift certificate to the Lakewood 400 Antique Market, happening December 14th to the 16th and coming, and a pair of tickets to the Fast Forward Exhibition. That sounds good. Now through January 20th at the High Museum of Art. Great prize pack for the holiday weekends coming up. We're going to give it away to the 5th caller, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal. She's taking your call today, as always. All right, 36 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Our phone number for questions. Questions only, not the prize pack. 404-872-0750. Dennis joins us on the line. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? What's going on today?
Well, I was just kind of curious. I've listened to your show, and I appreciate it. I learned a lot from it. But I've got a 3.5% interest, 15-year fixed rate, and I'm wondering if it's even worth the time to try to get it down to 2.6 or whatever it might be off. And I've got it to a major bank in the Atlanta area.
When did you get the loan?
2 years ago.
So you've got 12 years left, approximately?
I got 12 years left, yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm guess unless they'll just lower the interest rate for you, and I don't know why they would, maybe because you'd walk out the door, it's probably not going to be worth it to refinance.
Okay.
Once you're at 15 years, I mean, the only reason you would refinance is you would drop to a 10-year, so you'd shave 2 years of payments off.
Right.
And then whatever was left, maybe you'd be at 3% or 2.75%.
Right. Okay.
Might be worth it.
Right. But I throw extra money on the principal.
So you may not even have 12 years left. You may only have 10 years left.
Yeah, more than likely. So, okay.
Probably not.
I was just kind of interested in what your opinion is, because, you know, like I said, if you're getting that kind of, if you're getting that kind of money for almost free at 2.75 or 2.65%.
Well, you kind of want the biggest loan you can get, right? But I'd rather you go out and buy, like, an investment property and get, say, 3.5% or 4%, which for an investment loan is just insanely stupidly good. So I'd rather you go out and just start buying something else with that money because, you know, in my mind, this is just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. These years, the only reason we're seeing this is because the economy still isn't that good. The Fed is trying to juice it. We're facing the fiscal cliff. There's so many things, this tsunami of things that's come together that we're still not through. That I feel like I've been talking about it now every weekend since 2007. And here we are going into 2013. That's 6 years of housing crisis. And I just feel like we're not going to pass this way again in our lifetime. And if we do, God help us all.
Right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome, Dennis. Have a happy holiday. 39 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's see. So let's not go back there. Let's try Ben. Ben joins us on the line. Hey, Ben.
Hey.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to get your opinion and input on something. I started investing in rental property with my wife about 10 or 12 years ago.
Okay.
Right now, we have 14 properties that are mortgaged, and the youngest mortgage is about 5 years old. The rest are older. Interest rates range from the fives into the sixes.
Okay.
All right. So I have gradually been shuffled into the larger banks' portfolio by acquisitions and things, and I would really like to get away from them. Was looking if there was a possibility to approach a more local Atlanta bank with all of the property that I have in a bundle, if you will, to refinance, get down to the lower rates, and just, you know, stay with that bank.
So this is such a great question because you are with 14 properties plus your, I assume you live in a property, so 15?
Yeah, one of them. Correct. Oh. One is a,
so 14 or 15.
Okay.
You're kind of over the limit. Right? You're over the limit for residential loans right now because the most banks will do, they're allowed to do 10. Most will only do 4. You're way over that.
Yeah.
So it pushes you into the realm of commercial lending. And so many banks in Atlanta got burned big time over the last 7, 8, 9 years. And so they're very, very cautious about what they do. You seem to have found a good formula. I think what you should do is call some of the local lenders. Credit unions have been doing pretty well. The local regional kind of lenders, like BB&T, is I would call a large regional lender.
Okay.
Rather than a Bank of America national lender. Like, you can't get BB&T everywhere. So I would call them. I would call some of the bigger credit unions, the local banks. But you got to have a bank that has a substantial portfolio,
right,
its own portfolio. And I'd just start by having conversations. Make an appointment. Go in. You know, say this is what we think they're worth. I assume that, you know, they all have to be in the black, right? Because they're not going to lend you money if you've got properties underwater and if the
I think, you know, across the spread, I've got some that the balance is under 100,000. I have one that the balance is over 500. So there's a in the middle is where most of them sit, somewhere around 200,000 left. My rental history is extremely strong. And my ultimate goal used to be to live off rents when I get too old, you know?
That's good. But how, you don't seem like you're that old now.
I'm 61.
Really?
Yeah, but here's my new plan.
Uh-huh.
Sitting at a closing one day, and I looked at a piece of paper, tells them what I'm going to pay at 30 years, and I'm thinking, I want to be that person. So rather than rent them, I'd like to pay them off and then overfinance them.
That's
so I hold the note.
Right.
You know,
so you want to move into the lending. You want to just be the lender.
Yeah. And then I'll just live off the, you know, the interest instead of the rent.
Right. So that, I think, is an interesting opportunity for you. There are some risks involved, right, that you may not be fully aware of or considering. Just think about what's happened over the last 5 years. If you had been in the lender's shoes and, let's say, 25% of your owners stopped paying, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be so great. you would not be so happy.
That's when I get the note. You know, I mean, I hold them for that.
Right. So then you have to go through and you have to evict them, and then they damage. A lot of these properties got damaged. I mean, it's just not risk-free. It's a great plan. It's a great plan, just not risk-free. So what I want you to do, if you want to move into this, you do need a business plan to kind of work that out.
Sure.
And I'm going to suggest that you start building the team that will help you visualize it and figure out how to do it. So your accountant, who I'm sure by now is an expert at investment property, right, because you've made him an expert. Your real estate attorney, because you're going to have to write loan documents, basically mortgages for all of these properties, and you're going to have to set them up with payment systems through a bank, and it's going to have to protect you. So you need a real estate attorney who can help you do this. If you want to wrap all of these into one loan to get that paid off at a lower rate, you're going to need to find a lender that you can work with. And I think this idea of going to somebody local is probably the only way you're going to get that done. You're going to have to, and it's going to be commercial. And the truth is, I'm not sure you're going to do much better than 5%. So if most of your loans are between 5 and 6%, and you're going to have to pay 2 to 5%, to refinance them into one big loan package, you're going to have to really carefully do the numbers with your accountant to see if it's even worthwhile.
Well, and again, it may not work to do all of them, but if I could do, you know, a segment up to half of them. See, I'm worried, you know, with interest rates going up, because some of the loans are adjustable, you know, some of them are fixed. So, I need to maybe cherry pick the ones that are in the worst, you know, position in the future.
You're going to want to come to, you're going to have to keep following me on Twitter and listening to the show, because when we have this event in April, there are going to be a whole bunch of lenders, local lenders there as sponsors, and this would be so easy for you to come in and have a conversation with like four of them all at once.
Okay.
In one afternoon. Save you a ton of time. So that look for that in April, but in the meantime, I would try to make some appointments and maybe work through your accountant, because if he does do this with other people, he may know of some loan officers, even mortgage brokers who may be able to work with you to get this done.
I'm also a licensed real estate agent, so that
helps.
Yeah, it helps.
I think this is great. What did you start out doing to make all your money? Because you didn't do this originally, but what were you doing?
I started out selling condos when that was a really popular thing. I bought a lot of condos and I sold them and went into single family homes because I liked being in control and not having a bunch of partners.
Right.
But I didn't know. But, you know, it's hard work over the years. My wife and I have always had our own business and own companies. We've done advertising, you know, just evolved with the times, and we really enjoyed real estate and got into it for a while pretty heavy. And now we're not that attractive, you know, bank. but
well,
you know,
it just happens that way.
Yeah, but, you know, if you just take the whole portfolio and try and look at it from an investment standpoint, then I'm thinking, you know, it might be attractive to a bank, you know, looking for, and again, if I were going to refinance, I would not go 30 years, but, you know, 15 or maybe even 10, you know, to get in the position of being completely paid off at a point in time where I really don't want to work anymore, or, you know, not as energetic as I am right now.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot to be said for the path that you're looking at, and I'm sure that there's a local bank somewhere that's willing to help you.
All right. Well, thanks for the input, and I will follow you on Twitter and watch for the April event.
Awesome. That sounds great, Ben. Thanks so much, and have a happy holidays. 46 minutes past the hour, my Twitter feed, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com. By the way, I've tweeted out those two tax stories, what the end of the Bush tax cuts means for you, part one and part two, from the Equifax Finance blog. So I've tweeted that out as well, and would love to hear what you think about that. Let's go back to the phones. Matt joins us on the line from Powder Springs. Hi, Matt.
How are you?
You know, I'm loving it. Things are good. It's holidays. It's December. What's not to like, right?
That's true. I've got a question for you. I think you're about to be able to answer fast. I've got a mobile home on a Lake Sinclair, and I would like to refinance it.
Okay.
Haven't seemed to been able to find anybody that's willing to work with me on that.
It's really hard. Mobile homes are really hard. Is this a manufactured home, so it's on, it sits permanently on a permanent foundation, or is this literally you could hitch it to a truck and drive off?
No, it sits on a foundation.
Okay. So it's, how old is it?
2003 or 2004 is when I had it put in.
Okay. So it's not even that old.
No.
So maybe the problem you're having is that you're calling it a mobile home instead of a manufactured home.
Maybe.
And mobile homes are literally the things that you hitch up to a truck. I mean, they may have some attachments for water and whatever, but they're mobile, they're portable. And now there's a differentiation between that and a manufactured home that sits on a foundation, it's there permanently, it's basically, it was made somewhere else, right, a manufactured home that you put into place, but it's never going to move.
Yes.
So that's what you have to ask for. And a lot of the lenders will do this, but a lot of the big mistake a lot of people make is saying, well, I have a mobile home, and they're like, we don't do mobile homes. So try changing the taxonomy.
Well, that's a good suggestion, because I've been calling it a mobile home the whole time, and they don't want to talk to you as soon as you say mobile home.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it's a manufactured home. What I would say is I've got a house I want to refinance and start there. And when they ask you about it, you can say it was manufactured wherever and installed, right? So it's installed on a permanent foundation. It's a house. I wouldn't even go into it and see what, you know, how it happens for you.
See what they say. All right. That's a good suggestion. Thanks so much.
No, you're welcome. Happy holidays. It's 49 minutes past the hour. I should tell you that we're going to do another tax show. Somebody just tweeted in and said, are you going to do another tax show? Yeah, we're going to do another tax show. I think we're going to do it the second to last Sunday of the month. So I'm looking at my calendar. I think it's the 23rd. And we're going to have our enrolled agent gurus back with us, Bill, Mary, and Chet. And we're going to talk taxes, because what we're hoping is that by then more of the fiscal cliff stuff will be resolved, or maybe not. But if not, then at least we're going to talk about the things we know that are expiring, because by the 23rd, I have a real sense that we're going to understand whether or not we're going over the fiscal cliff. So that is what we're going to do for that show. And I'm sure you're going to want to tune in for that. It's, you know, Bill, Mary, and Chet, I always learn a lot. I'm sure you do as well. And the tax stuff this year, wow, worst it has been in the last, I got to think, at least 4 or 5 years. There's so much complexity with all of the different things, from the Medicare tax and how that's being implemented, to the end of the Bush tax cuts, to the unified gift credit, to Sam and I just had this discussion last night about a piece of it. And he's like, you know, I think it was about the FDIC insuring up to $250,000 per account in the banks. And is that being extended? That was originally ending in 2012 as well. But I think that's been extended. So I'm going to try to figure that out today. So all these layers of complexity. So we thought we'd have them back to kind of chat it up and figure it out. So stay tuned for that on the 23rd. Okay, 404-872-0750, 50 minutes past the hour. Our hour's almost up, so stay tuned. We'll be back with more in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby.
56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today. It's hard to believe Christmas, just a few short weeks away. All right, let's go back to the phones, see if we can help somebody out here. Daryl joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Elise. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I bought a house about 23 years ago on a stated income. Mm-hmm. I've been self-employed for about 26 years. I'd love to refinance. I took a second mortgage out on my house about 6 years ago to put a two-story addition on the back of the home. And I'd love to be able to roll those two loans together and take advantage of the lower interest rate. At this point, between the two loans, I owe less than $100,000.
And but how? Okay, let me hold on a second. Let's just back up a moment. So your loan is 23 years old, so you just have 7 years left of the main loan?
Yes.
And what's the interest rate there?
5.75.
Okay, not too bad for all those years. And then the, what are you paying on the second?
7.34.
Well, it'd be nice to get that down for sure. How much is on the second?
The second, I'm down to about $23,000. Now, I did refinance the first years ago, which added some more money to that balance. So total between the two, I'm at about $93,000 that I owe.
What's your house worth?
Now it's probably worth about $120,000. It got up to $169,000 and then it's dropped back down.
Okay, so you probably have enough equity for 20%. So I would shop around and see if you can find somebody who will do it. Now, but the real key for you is, what is it that you are showing as income on your income taxes?
Well, at one point...
It only matters what you're showing right now today.
Yeah, see, I don't even know it. This year is just... I'm a paint contractor.
All right.
So this year has been pretty scary.
All right. So I'm going to tell you, this is not going to be the year you can refinance. It's just not going to happen for you, because you're going to have to show that you have enough income that you're reporting on your taxes to afford a $100,000 loan. And I can just tell it's not going to work out for you. You would need to show probably about $40,000 of real income. So let's hope that next year is a little bit better and you're going to be able to do something there and that it's not so scary, because I think 2013 is going to be not so scary for everybody. All right, Daryl, let me know what happens. Everybody else, the music's playing. Means I got to go. But I'll be back next Sunday with another edition of the Elise Kling Show at 11 o'clock, back to our regular time. Be there, be square, and have a great week, everybody.